Are you doing good? So we are looking at some of the things that Jesus said in the last month of his life, particularly the last week of his life. And we're doing that because we've just entered Lent. And we're building up to the time of Passion and Passover, of Jesus' death and resurrection. You will notice that all of the Gospels give a disproportionate amount of time to the last week of Jesus' life. It's like they're telling us that there is an importance here, and there are things here that we need to learn. This is John chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 1 through to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Now, right now, if you've got a troubled heart, that's the word of God for your life right now. Do not let your heart be troubled. Whatever it is you're facing, don't let your heart be troubled. And in place of that trouble, believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Simple verse. Deep, profound meaning. It comes at the end of a conversation. Jesus is talking about eternal life. And he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, many dwellings, many places of belonging. And Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place in eternal life for you, a customized place for you, a place where you will feel at home in a way that you don't in this world. A place that meets who you are and who you will be. Jesus, it is the last week of his life. And he is going to his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. But he promises that he will return, that he will come back to take us to be with him, so that we may be where he is. A new life, a new heavens, and a new earth, a new us, a new you, new desires, new abilities, new tasks, new goals, new future, everything new, eternal life, not just life unending. In Hebrew, there are two ways of saying eternal life, and Chaim Lo'olam, which means just length of life, life to eternity. But the other word is Chaim Nitzach, which means victory life, overcoming life. And that's what Jesus promises us. So Jesus says to the disciples, you know the way to get to where I'm going. And Thomas answers, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I mean, if somebody says to you, party at my place, and you don't know where they live, what are you going to do? Hunt the streets? It's pretty obvious that Thomas is thinking physically. He thinks that with the upcoming storm, Jesus is going to relocate his ministry. He's going to go off to Rome or off to Babylon or somewhere else. And the disciples are going to have to find where he is. It's pretty obvious to us and probably to them with hindsight, but Jesus is talking about heaven. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to get to where you need to go. If you want to get to the Father, says Jesus, if you want to get to God, says Jesus, if you want to find everlasting life, you're going to do it by following me, says Jesus. And then, as if that wasn't clear enough, he goes on to add, nobody. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. You won't get to heaven by being good. You won't even get to heaven by being perfect. You can do transcendental meditation and be as calm as you possibly can. It won't get you to heaven. You can bribe the pastor. It won't get you to heaven, although I invite you to try. There is no secret knowledge that will open that door for you. And just like Thomas, Muhammad does not know the way. And neither does the Buddha. So if you want to get there, you'll do it by following Jesus. And you'll only do it by following Jesus. There is no other way. On Pentecost Day, Peter will look at the crowd and say, there is no other name given by which we must be saved. Every one of us must speak that name. Every one of us must declare with our lips and declare with our hearts, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Every one of us must be born again. Being in church won't get you to heaven. Knowing everything that there is to know about Jesus won't get you to heaven. Being good won't get you there. As I said, even being perfect. We've sort of taught this idea that it's perfection that gets you to heaven. And when you're perfect, that's only... Actually, it doesn't say that in the Bible. If you were to live a totally sinless life, I don't think that's possible. If you were to live a totally sinless life and not believe in Jesus, that would not open the door to heaven for you. You must say yes to Jesus. And when you do, you enter into a covenant. You enter into an agreement that God has made with humankind. And in that agreement, there is forgiveness of sins. And there is eternal life. And there is healing. And a lot of other things too. In that covenant, there is a growing relationship with God. But in that covenant, there are also obligations that we obey him. And that we serve him, and that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. And also that we get tied into community, because it was never just about us and Jesus. It was being a part of his kingdom on earth. It's about believing. And when we say believing, most of us think that's a set of truths that we have to subscribe to. But in the Bible, believing is about committing. It's about saying, yes, God, I am in. I am doing this. Jesus starts by saying, do not be afraid. And over the week to come, the disciples are going to have every reason to be afraid, because this is the week leading up to the cross. And that fear will be on many, many levels. They will fear for Jesus. They will fear for the nation, they will fear for themselves. And Jesus is saying to them, what is about to happen, you actually don't need to be frightened of. Because what I am doing in this is opening the way. Costa Rica obviously broke into my study this week. Because as she put it, the worst day in human history becomes the best day in human history. This is God's way to save the world. Covenant with God was always made through sacrifice. Forgiveness of sin was always made through sacrifice. Peace with God was always made through sacrifice. And Jesus' death is that sacrifice. God is taking upon himself all of our sin, all of our hurt, all of our brokenness, and he is healing it in himself. And in this, a new and living way is being opened into God's presence through Jesus' blood, through his body, through his broken body, and you have a way to come to God. No other way. You and God. Once you were distant from each other. Once you were not friends, you were enemies because of your evil behavior. Once you were objects of wrath, but God reached out and he drew you in and he gave you a future and he gave you eternal life. This is simple. It's profound. You know the way. You know the way to find yourself in heaven. If you don't take that way, you are an idiot. It's simple. I'm not noted for being simple. When Jesus says, I am the way, the image is a path. A path from where you're standing here, right into eternity, right into God's presence. I don't believe for 1 minute that that path ends either with your death or Jesus' return. I believe that that is just a milestone on a path that will be much longer, because in heaven there will be service and there will be new things to do and new things to explore. The path that you're walking between here and eternity, on earth it has its ups and downs. It has its twists and its hairpins, its detours, which then have detours for detours, its breakdowns and its closed roads. There are roundabouts, there are loop tracks, there are dead ends. This is what your life will be like. But if you saw that path from heaven, you would see it is as straight as an arrow. And you would see it is not up and down. It's level the whole way. It's just a matter of perspective. And you follow Jesus. Because Jesus is not only the way, Jesus is the guide. He knows where he is going, whether you do or whether you don't. And he also knows where the good stuff is. One of my favorite hikes back in Israel was Wadi Kelt. And it's a long wadi, and you never get to hike the whole of it in one day. But when you're driving home, there's this little path off to the side. It's really not very impressive. It's the kind of path that you would think, why go down there? What's the point? There's nothing there. You know, we've had the day, we've hiked the wadi, we've swam in the water holes, we've done all of those things. And why would we go down this little path? And it winds around and it comes out onto the top of a hill and you look down over St. George's Monastery, built into the wall of the canyon. And it's so spectacular. And you would never, ever know it was there unless somebody guided you. You know, most of the good stuff in your life you will never find for yourself. You will find it because you follow Jesus down the most unlikely paths. Hello, Azaria. Jesus knows where to find the good stuff. He knows where to find peace with God. He knows where to find healing. He knows where success is found. He knows where prosperity is found. He knows the things that you want, and he knows the things that you need. He knows where fulfillment will be found in your life. And sometimes that will take us down strange paths. But Jesus knows where he's going. And he will lead you to the good things in your life. And yes, sometimes you will get to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But even then, there's good on the other side. And yes, sometimes there will be mountains to climb. But you need to climb those mountains because you need to get strong. And you need to learn skills. And there will be deserts to cross because you need to learn patience and perseverance. And from time to time, there will be enemies on the path because you need to learn how to deal with them. The path is Jesus' teaching. And when you love your enemies, you're going in one direction. And when you hate your enemies, you're going in a different direction. One of those is following the path. One of those isn't. And when you walk with faith, that will move you forward. And when you engage doubt, that will keep you where you are. And when you engage unbelief, you're going to find yourself off the path. But there is always a reset. There is always a, Lord, I'm lost. Lord, forgive my waywardness. Because Jesus knows it's a difficult path. And he knows that we will make mistakes because we're human. Of course, it's a dynamic path. And when you've gone off track and realized that you're lost and you pray that prayer, suddenly that path is in front of you. And there's a way forward and there's a way back because Jesus is the way. And every trouble and every difficulty that you face, Jesus is the way. He's the way over it, through it, under it, around it. I don't know. It seems to be different every time. But he is the way. And if you've got a goal in your life that God has placed there, Jesus is the way to that goal. And wherever you are right now in your life, whether you're in a place where you want to be or whether you're in a place where you don't want to be, Jesus is the way forward. In your relationships, in your family, Jesus knows the way. He will lead you forward. In your work, Jesus knows the way. He will lead you forward. In depression or sickness, whatever it is that you need, wherever it is that you are, follow the way. And as you walk that path, a strange thing happens. You change and you grow and you start to become what God wants from you. So follow the way. Keep walking. Keep persevering because there is no other way. Every other path that you will find for yourself will lead to death, not to life, however attractive that path might seem. The early church didn't call themselves Christians. Christians was a nickname that people outside of the church gave to the church. We just sort of adopted it because it's quite a good nickname. But the early church referred to themselves as followers of the way. That was one of the names they had for themselves. They would say, I belong to the way. Jesus is the way. So live the Jesus way. Live the path. Live the method of living that God showed. Walk the way. Walk in the light. But Jesus didn't just say, I am the way. He also said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I tell the truth, although he did. He said, I am the truth. And when he said, I am the truth, he was saying really something quite profound. And clearly he was claiming to be something more than just a human. There's an identifying with God in this. There is a claim to being the Messiah in this. But at the same time, he's saying, I'm the real human being. I'm what human beings are supposed to be like. Something more than we are. He is authentic. He is the real thing. Jesus is the truth. And in his teaching and in his life, he's the truth about God. If you want an authentic relationship with God, you need to know who God is. Philip says a little bit later in this conversation, show us the Father. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? After I've been among you so long, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Everybody has their own idea about who God is. Have you noticed that? Because the majority of people in our world today, the vast majority of people in the world today, believe in some sort of God. And if you talk to people in New Zealand, they will have their own ideas about who God is and what God looks like and what God wants from them. Jesus came to show us who God really is. He came to show us the truth about God, who he is, and what he wants from us. And this is kind of critical information, because we need to learn how to please God. So Jesus shows us who God is. But Jesus also tells us the truth about the world around us, about where we're at, about a world that God created, our Father's world, about how we fell and how this world came into degradation and destruction, and how nothing is quite the way that it was intended to be, and how one day all of that will be restored. And Jesus tells us the truth. It's so easy for us to think that all we see around us is all that there is. It's so easy for us to be deceived by the physical. It's so easy for us to enjoy our life so much here that we look in the wrong places. But the here and now overtakes what will be. And we must fix our eyes on what is unseen. It's the truth not just about God, not just about the world. It's the truth about humankind, how we were made in the image of God and how we fell and how we followed our own paths and wanted to be the master of our own destiny and how desperately each one of us needs a Savior. How we are capable of such incredible good and such incredible evil at the same time. Something broken within us. but how we were made for relationship with God. And Jesus teaches us how we can know God and please Him, and the joy and the blessing that can come into our lives in a relationship with God, and how God is our Father, our perfect Father. The Father that some of us had and the Father that many of us didn't. The Father that we wished we'd had. And the truth about ourselves, about who we are. Because the world out there wants to tell you who you are. You are an economic unit. You produce something and you buy something for the benefit of somebody else. The enemy has an idea about who you are: useless, hopeless, substandard. Or maybe the other way, maybe better than everybody else. Jesus tells the truth. And you are a child of God. And He has a vision for who you are and who you can be. And you were made for the Holy Spirit to flow through your life. You were made to be more than just an ordinary baseline human. The power of God is within you. And holiness and purity and sanctification. And I need to believe the truth about myself, because Jesus is the truth. And I need to see myself how He sees me, and I have to live up to that potential. And when I do, I will find love and happiness. I need Jesus' truth in my life. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And you will realize that in popular culture, that's a verse that has been widely panned. People will tell you, if you are in prison, if you are a slave, knowing that you are in prison, knowing that you are a slave, does not set you free. I think they might have missed the point. When you realize that that prison and that slavery for most of us is not literal, realizing you are an addict is the first step to being free from addiction. You know that, don't you? Realizing that you are a sinner is the first step to being forgiven. And even if it is a physical prison that you're in, obviously none of you right now. No, we're not going there. Even if it is a physical prison, just realizing what it was that brought you to this place is the first step to change. And when you know the truth, you're on the path to freedom. Jesus' truth sets you free. Even when the situation seems impossible, whether it's some sort of a sickness that's in your life, knowing God's truth gives you freedom. Because when you know what's ahead of you, when you know that even in death, you just get to be in God's presence, there's a freedom that comes from that. So Lord, speak freedom into my life. Let me see things as they really are. Let me see the way forward. And Jesus then said, "I am the life." And obviously He means eternal life. Jesus is the way to eternal life. He's a promise of eternal life. Jesus is the future. But Jesus is also life now. John does a funny thing with this word, eternal life. Because for him, eternal life is not what happens after you die. For him, eternal life is what happens the moment you commit your life to Jesus. You've already begun eternal life. And it's not just this idea of life without end, life going on forever and ever. Actually, that's not really a very engaging perspective from our human perspective now. He's talking about a different kind of life, a life that is fundamentally different from normal human life, a life that really will work for eternity. The promise of life now and the promise of life in the future. So when you follow that way, when you follow the teaching, that's what you find. So many of our lives are full of hate, full of violence, full of darkness, drunkenness, greed, unforgiveness. Do you really think those things will lead you to a good life? I mean, they seem so attractive, but you'll realize that's the path of death, not the path of life. So we follow his teachings and we find peace and we find wholeness and we find purpose and security and joy and we find out who we are. And even in hard times, God's life is there and you don't have to live under your circumstances. You can live over your circumstances. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So follow the way. Believe the truth. Live the life. You need to accept Jesus into your life for the first time today. That's you. Just in this moment, I'm going to say a prayer. And if this is what you believe and this is what you want, just say it quietly under your breath. The rest of us are going to say it quietly under our breath too. Give your life to Jesus. Find that life that he has to offer. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I commit myself to you to follow the way. I name you the Lord of my life. I ask for your forgiveness for the things that I've done wrong. And I pray, Lord, that you will draw me into a relationship with you, a living relationship that ends up in God's presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, come and talk to one of the guys at the front that's praying, or talk to me on the door at the back there. May you have an awesome, awesome day. May today be a day full of joy and healing and fullness. Be nice to somebody spontaneously. Do something nice for somebody spontaneously. God bless you.